Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Revelation chapter 22, covering verses 13 through 16, titled The Testimony of Jesus. This is part 2 of 2.
And of course, people who turn to these things love a lie. Every one of them. Everyone who turns to anything outside of Jesus Christ for salvation loves a lie. And it says maketh a lie, because then a lot of times that propels them to then become liars themselves. And they tell lies to try to trap you. Come on, man, a little bit ain't gonna hurt you. Come on, man, come on, I love you. Show me how much you love me. See what I'm saying? Making up, they become liars. Oh, it's not idolatry. We're just using this image as an aid to worship. Yeah. You liar. Hail Mary, full of grapes, blessed be the fruit of the loom. Jesus is God. Amen. Everyone who denies that is a liar, and they will then make up lies. You don't have to believe me. Live a little longer and pay attention and you'll see it. His opinion is the only one that counts. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I just don't believe. I was conversing with a lesbian yesterday. Who? She's a lesbian Christian. No, it wasn't. Sorry, but she was prettier than Charlie. So, but she shaves. And I said, "You're a liar." She, what do you mean? You can't be a lesbian Christian. There's no such thing. Jesus died for your sins. Lesbianism is a wicked sin. I said, I had my sins. But when I was born to truly become a Christian, I stopped lying about my sins. I repented, believed the gospel, and was saved. And I stopped. You call yourself a lesbian Christian, you could call it, what? It's the same as calling yourself I'm a fornicating Christian. I'm a drunkard Christian. I'm a liar Christian. You know, it's just, this world is getting so wicked that day may come. Everybody just says, yeah, that's my, what's your favorite sin as a Christian? That's where we're heading.
I heard that on the radio the other day.
What'd you hear on the radio?
There was some preacher on 91.5 talking about, it wasn't exactly that, but it was basically preaching. It's like we all have that thing
Well, then that leads to another issue. I'm glad you brought that. It's good to talk about. Is this hyper-dispensational thing? This Gnosticism is another word for it, and that is, or actually, the better term is that covers all the groups that teach this is antinomianism. You ever heard of that word? Antinomian, nomia being law, meaning anti-law. That as a Christian, just live it up, man. Your sins are forgiven. Now you can just sin like the devil. And there's hyper-dispensationalists, especially the ones who go all the way to what you call Acts 28 hyper-dispensational. And a lot of them follow E.W. Bullinger put out the Bullinger Companion Bible. He's one of the people that kind of frothed this thing up about Acts 28 hyper-dispensationalism. And they basically say that since they don't believe the church was established until the end of the Acts, and the Jerusalem Council said to not drink blood or fornicate, but that was before the end of Acts, so we don't have to pay attention to that. So I guess it's all right to fornicate and drink blood.
Oh.
And that's the mindlessness. But listen, folks, don't let them fool you. They try to pretend it's because they've studied the Bible and they just know more than you. They just love their evil deeds. So they come up with a false gospel so they can pretend to be saved and live like the devil. And that is probably the fastest growing heresy in your day, in our day. You better get used to dealing with it. You're going to have friends and family who are going to say, I'm a Christian, and while totally living like reprobates. But anyway, I was talking to this lesbian. And I said, you're a liar. She said, what? Because you can't be a lesbian and a Christian. And she wanted to debate that with me, so I just shared the scriptures. And they have no answer for those scriptures. And they then just turn it around and try to say, well, you're just a hater. And you know, you're just a, well, that's a fair charge. I hate sin. Amen.
Before you were banned.
No, this was yesterday. This is yesterday. I didn't say Facebook.
Okay.
That's Facebook isn't the only place lesbians hang out. So back to the the opinion of Jesus is the only one to count, and that's what I told her. I said, listen, you can play your games, but one of these days you're going to stand before the judge. And you can get by with this nonsense with me because, you know, all I can do is debate with you. I can't stop you from saying what you're saying. He'll stop you.
Yep.
And that day's coming. Anybody listen to this? Anybody watching this? You're playing games with God. You're going to play your games till you take your last breath in this life, and then the games are over. And then when you go to hell, you'll be filthy still, like we studied in our last study, but you'll have no hope of ever getting out of hell, no hope of ever being anything but filthy.
That's right.
Yep. And we'll never have to put up with your nonsense ever again. Amen. That's one of the things that makes heaven heaven. There won't be liberals there.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
There are going to be some conservatives in hell too if they're not born again, but you can't be a liberal and be saved. A liberal, by definition, rejects absolutes. A liberal, by definition, says Jesus can't be the only way to heaven. A liberal, by definition, says there's no such thing as an infallible Bible. A liberal, by definition, says that all paths lead to God. That's, you talk to anybody who's a real liberal, they will never profess to believe the biblical gospel. They'll say, I love Jesus, the one I made up. But you talk about the one that we're talking about from the Bible, they don't believe that Jesus. That's why they're liberals. I heard some people say, well, you got to make a difference between a theological liberal and a political liberal. No, you don't. Amen. I've never met a political liberal who was not a theological liberal. Why? Because liberals are liars. Period. And you don't take me up on this unless you're really ready to see the truth laid out. But if you have a liberal in your family or your life who claims to be a Christian and you want me to prove to you that they're a liar, bring them to me.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just telling you the truth. You bring them to me, we'll prove. I've done it. I've had people do it. This guy's a Christian and he's a liberal. I said, if he's a liberal, he's not a Christian. Oh, how could you say that about me? You don't even know me. I don't need to know you. If you're a liberal, you're a liar and you're lost. Okay, now let's take 5 minutes to prove it. Do you believe when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that Jesus was telling the truth, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that Muhammad is in hell, that Buddha is in hell, that Confucius is in hell, that everyone who rejected what I just said about Jesus is in hell? Do you believe that? Well, no, I don't. Well, then I just proved my case. Let's eat. Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Why? Because God created the angels. They all belong to Jesus.
Amen.
That's why I said one of the things, you know, they put wings on angels to prove they're angels, and the Bible never says angels have wings. What could they do? Well, you just put a t-shirt on them, says property of Jesus, and a hat that has angel, a ball cap. That'd take care of the problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Going to be something you get to heaven and find out all the angels wear ball caps with the word angel on it. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Now, there are other angels that belong to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw that in there. To testify unto you these things in the churches. What are we doing right now? We're obeying that right there. I am, I love that. I am, that's Jesus talking, not me. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. See, there's reasons to believe what we believe about Jesus. The Old Testament shows the prophecies given thousands of years before he was born, and he fulfilled every one of them. There was a promise given to David. Psalm 132:11 gives us this promise. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. You ought to say right there, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You do not have to worry about him ever not keeping his word. That's why you know you're eternally secure. Jesus says you're saved. He never said, I now put you on probation. And now it's like the Hunger Games or whatever the stuff is where you're trying to survival of the fittest, like Darwin, you know, be saved. In order to be saved, you have to endure unto the end. And that never is talking about eternal salvation. And it's not for this dispensation, enduring to the end. That's for those alive during the tribulation period. The Lord has sworn in truth unto who?
David.
So if he doesn't do this, then he lied to David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne.
Amen.
Now, we'll see that wasn't Solomon he's talking about there. Although Solomon sat on throne and Rehoboam, and that was it as far as the United Kingdom. And then for a while, he had some other, including Josiah, some great kings and some bad kings. But Jesus is the Son of David. Matthew 1:1. This is the first verse in the New Testament. Some of you may have never known this, but this is why it says what it says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. See, God knew Islam was coming. So he said, you got to be the son of Abraham. You also have to be the son of Isaac, not of Ishmael, and the son of Jacob. But not just the son of Jacob. You'd have to come from the tribe of Judah. And not just from the tribe of Judah. You got to be the offspring of King David. That narrows it down pretty good, don't it? Ain't nobody else that can claim this except for Jesus. He's the son of David. And in Numbers 24:17, talks about the star, the bright morning star. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's talking about him being a king. And that's a reference to the Messiah, who is Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's the bottom line. That's the message tonight. Those four verses is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what you got to know, and that's what you ought to just pound in your heart and your mind and recall. It's what we sing about in our hymns. It's what we say when we say, Lord Jesus. You're saying right there that Jesus is the Lord. Yeah, we'll pick up in our next study there. We have Q&A after a closing prayer if anybody have any questions. But let's go ahead and close, and those who need to leave can. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in the book and that it's all about Jesus. 4 years of study in the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And we are looking for that moment when he will be revealed to us in the rapture in a way that we have never imagined. And we will forever be in the presence of the glorified Jesus. And we will return with him when he returns to this earth to establish his kingdom on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And we will return with him to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And one last time at the end of that 1,000 years, we will see the Word who will speak and destroy every last enemy.
Amen.
And the devil will be cast in the lake of fire. And then there'll be a great white throne judgment. And all who have rejected the testimony of Jesus, whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be cast into the lake of fire. And all who remain will spend eternity in the presence of our glorified Lord and Savior. Thank you so much. We're going to sing and praise you for this truth for throughout eternity. But I don't want to wait till we get to heaven to start. I want to praise you now. Praise you always. I could, I'd praise you in my sleep. We just thank you and love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. 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 I'd probably even get on Jenny's nerves if I tried to praise him in my sleep, wouldn't it?
No, in your dreams. It could be done.
Sebby does it.
Sebby does it. Yes, as we wait for any online questions, do any of the hard copy, I don't know what you call you guys,
the locals,
the yokels. Charlie?
Was there a significance to there being 14 generations? Like, is there any corresponding time scale that's like predicted towards the future after Jesus? Or is that it?
No, I think I read somewhere where someone hypothesized that there was some kind of numeric.
For 17.
Yeah, but some kind of application beyond that, but that's kind of reaching into the mystic Bible code kind of thing. I think it just breaks it down because that's how God worked it out. You know, it just makes it, and it doesn't make it easier to, if you want to memorize that, you memorize the 14, you know, you're. Didn't skip any.
It's double. It's seven is the number. Yeah. It's double
that. Yeah, that's it. And that's some interesting things, yeah. One of the things, though, is that's why I recommend you let Alexander Scorby or James Earl Jones or Gregory Peck or whoever you can get that reads the Bible. Johnny Cash, did he do the King James?
I don't know.
But anyway. You know what? We talk about a missed opportunity. They should have had John Wayne read the Bible.
Yeah.
Want to hear it? All right. Here we go. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Duh. The son of David. The son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Duh. You just throw that in there once in a while, everybody thinks, that does sound like John Wayne, don't it? But anyway, you listen to these guys read the Bible who know what they're doing, and that's how you can learn to pronounce a lot of these names. And it's useful to learn how to pronounce them. But also remember, the transliteration from Hebrew to English and from Greek to English means there's a little difference between some of the names. You read in here in Matthew 1, Tamar spelled with an H, Perez with the S, and what's some of the other ones? Booz instead of Boaz with an A. That's Boaz. Booz. What's up, Booz? Somebody tell Stephen Miller that if he has a boy, we just found a name for him. Booze Miller. That would be so much fun yelling at that kid too. Hey, Booze! Get over here, Booze! I'd just yell at him for the fun of it.
So playing a game would be interesting. Yes, how may I help you on that?
Jenny just informed me it's going on 9, dear. So, any other questions? Yeah, Kim? Yeah, a besetting sin is basically something that takes you off track, and it's something that some people struggle with. That's why I tell people, for example, when it comes to alcohol, you know, the Bible never says drinking alcohol is a sin, but there are at least some people who should not ever even go near the stuff because they can't ever not get drunk. See what I'm saying? So that's why there have been people come to me and say, well, I'm not going to drink anything, but they're having a party and for my family, and they're going to have... I said, don't go. You know better. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the same thing. And there's some people who shouldn't be on the internet. I mean, there's nothing sinful about being on the internet in itself, but there's people who can't stand getting on the internet without going into the bad stuff. So they just shouldn't have it. And unless or until they can, because that's the sin that's, you know, going to.
Well, what about, like, I've heard studies and read studies, like, especially like sexual sins, like lesbianism or gay and all that stuff. The people that are in those sins, it's very hard for them to come out.
Oh, yeah.
So what if they got saved? Is that going to still be their besetting sin?
We have ministered to homosexuals who have gotten saved. And I'll tell you, it's the saddest thing to deal with. Two of them died of AIDS, and from the time they got saved to the time they died, they just constantly battled with it. But it all really came down to their unwillingness to cut themselves off from people who they knew were going to try to bring them down. And that really has a lot to do with all of our, any of us have a sin that we're dealing with, then you've got to put some borders up, build that wall. Amen.
Amen.
But that involves also not just laying aside the sin, but there's also other passages in the Proverbs speaks a lot about this, about not associating with those. Being not an equally yoked with unbelievers has as much to do with your friends and associates as it does your who you marry. Because they will bring you down, and people aren't willing to do that. And in the gay community, as it's called, that's the biggest thing, is they will not cut off the influences that will bring them down. And there have been some very famous examples. I won't name the names because off the top of my head, I'm not sure I got the name right. There's one fellow who became a Christian, started working with Focus on the Family, got married, had kids, and then went back into the lifestyle, as they call it, the sin. And the story about how it happened was that instead of him putting up separation from that community, he decided that he was going to try to save them all. And he started going around them with the pretense of preaching the gospel and trying to reach them. But that's it's not his crowd to reach. And with unless you have some very serious limitations, borders, and accountability. And he didn't. He left his wife and went back into, he was a drag, you know what that is? And so he went back to dressing up drag and doing all this stuff again for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years. And then he came to himself like the prodigal and came back, and his wife took him back and restored the marriage and everything. But this time he said, I'll listen, I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do. And I haven't heard him. That's been several years ago since he came back, and he stayed back. But the reason he stayed back with his wife and with the Lord, serving the Lord and everything, was because he was willing to cut them off, cut off the influences and the things that drag you back into those sins. Yeah, Doug?
You have two types of people. You're either conformed to this world, or you are transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen. That's exactly right. That's a choice you make by either present your bodies as Sunday message we talked about. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, or you're going to fall. That's really it. Jenny?
Well, I think parents are really up in arms about this school because they wanted to bring the Bible into the school.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about having the kids study the Bible. And I guess this one mother said that they were basically harassing her child into saying that, you know, if you don't participate and want to study the Bible, that, you know, you're going to hell, your family's going to hell.
This is a public school?
Yeah.
West Virginia.
See, I have to tell you that I'm not one of those who pushes for the Bible to be put into public schools or taught, and I'll tell you why. Because it would be ridiculous and disastrous. The people who would teach are nuts, and they would totally destroy the faith of those children in the Bible. And what people don't understand is they try that in some states, and what happened was the teachers would read the Bible and teach it as history, and then what they would do is give you the History Channel version, where they would quote all the apostate scholars in trying to convince the kids that the Bible's full of errors. So that girl, you know, she's complaining because they're trying to get her saved, I guess, and so that means it's probably a decent group of people. But the issue itself is that right now our public schools are not any place you want a Bible being taught by anybody who's employed there. And it's basically the same thing you get on arts and entertainment. and PBS, and when they teach the Bible, it's garbage. Garbage. Yeah, Jane?
Atron asks, is it possible to discern whether or not someone has been given over to a reprobate mind?
It's not possible to know infallibly, and so what I always tell everybody is sometimes you have a pretty good idea, but you should still preach the gospel, pray for them, but if it becomes like really clear, then that's when, after the first and second admonition, a heretic you reject. So just by following all the different things the Bible says, we protect ourselves against a reprobate, because if a reprobate is someone who's given over to their sin and they reject the gospel and blaspheme. And I'll give an example. We had a young man come in here and pretending to be a Christian, and he then verbally, openly denied the deity of Jesus Christ and taught that Jesus was created. And he was trying to talk other people into that. Same thing happened at a church I was a previously associate pastor in. And while I don't know for sure they're reprobate, I had my idea they were, because they were both very sexually promiscuous as well, as in claiming to be a Christian at the same time. And so to me, it sure looked like reprobation. And all I could do is give them, like Paul said, give such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. And see what this Christians are failing to do now, if I might take what Brother Aaron just asked and build on it, is Christians are refusing to do that. They're refusing to obey the Word of God. And they think that the way to win people is to be smarter than God and to coddle them and to keep them around, even people who appear reprobate. And you're really enabling them right to hell when you do that. The way to reach people is to obey God. Do things God's way. And God says, preach the gospel. But if they persist in their wickedness and they blaspheme, you're to then cut it off. It's done. You're done.
I said, I like your bumper stickers. They pretty much say it all. One of the best ones there in Ottawa, it said, public schools is child abuse.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah. Let me just put this out there for those of you who may think what he said is kind of shocking. Public schools are child abuse. Now, try this. Go round up 30 kids, put them in your basement, and lock them in there for 6 hours, and don't let them out. They'd be coming to arrest you. That's what they do in public schools. They round up 30 kids with one adult, and the only... Some of the schools, you get to move from one class to the other and then go to a lunch period. And then up to a certain age, they let them go outside for like a half hour. If you were to do that and you're being paid, that's illegal. Ask the professional over here. She can't take 30 kids in her home and force them all to sit on a metal chair and listen to her yap for 6 hours. And that's called public education. And that's why they were so... And let me get on my soapbox for a second. That's why they were so evil and wicked, lying and nasty towards Betsy DeVos. Because she wants to put an end to the child abuse. She wants parents to have choices so their kids can have real education and not sit on a metal chair for 6 hours with a bunch of goofballs lecturing them. A lot of it's lies. Lecturing them with lies about history, lies about science, lies about psychology, lies about everything. And it's child abuse. And then the ones that act up, they put on dope, Ritalin and those other things. Child abuse.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.